now we're going to read that passage that we just sang, Isaiah chapter 9. I invite you to turn in your Bibles with me to Isaiah chapter 9. And once you've found Isaiah chapter 9, keep your finger there and also open up to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, where we'll see the fulfillment of this prophecy. So Isaiah 9 and John chapter 1, before we turn our attention to God's word this morning, let's ask him for his blessing. Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, as we now open up your word together, it's our prayer that you will give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know you better. We pray also that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which you have called us, the riches of your glorious inheritance in the saints, and your incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of your mighty strength which you exerted in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand in the heavenly realms. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Isaiah chapter 9, we'll begin reading with verse 1. Let's pay careful attention because this is God's holy word. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in later times, he was made glorious. He has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nations and have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder and the rod of his oppressor you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the trampling warrior in the battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Now I invite you to turn over to John chapter 1. Beginning with verse 9. John chapter 1, verse 9. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our Lord remains forever. People of God, as you watch TV commercials this time of year, you are given a picture of what the perfect Christmas supposedly should look like. Bells ringing, chestnuts roasting on an open fire, horse-drawn sleighs gliding across snow-covered bridges on their way to Grandma's house, laughing together by the living room fireplace as we sip on hot chocolate and enjoy each other's wonderful stories, a new car in the driveway Christmas morning. Nostalgia also comes into play as we remember the good old days. In our minds, we plan our gatherings and our gift givings, and it's the perfect Hallmark scene. Everyone's together with smiles on their faces. It's the Christmas of our imaginations, the Christmas of commercials, the Christmas of cards and Thomas Kincaid paintings. And then you get the flu. And things aren't quite what you had in mind. Reality hits. And Christmas can be a time of disappointments, frustrations. You make every effort to be home for Christmas, and it's just not what you had in mind. The family dinner that we had dreamed of ends up with disagreements and insults and strife. The present that you sacrificed for and then gave received a yawn and a half-hearted thank you. The get-together is not going to be the same this year because a family member won't be there. There are lonely hearts, aching hearts. Psychologists tell us that depression peaks around this time of year, especially Christmas. And this is, unfortunately, the Christmas experienced by many. And even as we try to sing, it's the most wonderful time of year with a smile on our face, it's not quite enough to change the reality we are living. We're longing for something more. We desire something more. This is not the way things are supposed to be. And what do we do? Do we just fake it till we make it? Where do we look to satisfy the longings that we have for things to be right, the way they're supposed to be? And Isaiah answers these questions. We need to look to the baby who is born, the son who is given. Christ is the light shining into the darkness. The people who walked in darkness, verse 2 tells us, have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. The entire work of Jesus Christ, everything that he's done, and all the blessings that are poured out onto us because of what he has done, can be characterized with one word. And that one word summarizing it all is light. The light has come. The light has shone. The light has been seen. Christ is the world's true light. And when we look at John 1, we're told to receive him. To believe him. To believe in him as the world's true light. And that's what we're going to see this morning as we first of all look at the people walking in darkness. And then secondly, have seen a great light. And so first, the people who walked in darkness. What is the spiritual concern here in Isaiah chapter 9? What's the spiritual concern of this passage? The people, currently, God's people are exiled. They are separated from God because of their sin. They are walking. They are stumbling in darkness. And the hope that they are given in this dark time is of this child who will be born, this great light that will shine into the darkness, the one who will bring an end to their pain and their suffering and bring ultimate peace. Now, right before our passage here in chapter 9, you have Isaiah chapter 8, and it describes the darkness that the people are walking in and experiencing. When you look at verse 20, to the teaching and to the testimony, if they will not speak according to this word, it is because they have no dawn. They have no sunrise. They have no light. The one they are looking for is yet to come. You look at verses 9 and 10 of chapter 8. Be broken, you peoples, and be shattered. Give ear, all you far countries. Strap on your armor and be shattered. Strap on your armor and be shattered. Take counsel together, but it will come to nothing. Speak a word, but it will not stand, for God is with us. So you have that glimmer of hope in this bleak situation. They will look towards the earth and see only distress and darkness, fearful gloom, and they will be thrust into utter darkness. You think about King Ahaz. Here we have the aftermath of that story that we looked at a few Sundays ago. Where did he turn to satisfy his desire, his deepest longing? Where did he look to satisfy his need for saving, delivering? He turned to the Assyrians. And now this entire section, Isaiah 7, 8, and 9, is a prophecy to Judah. Ahaz turned to the enemy, the Assyrian army, instead of to the Lord, and the result is destruction, the result is exile. That's the spiritual concern they were facing. But what concern do we share in common with those Isaiah was originally prophesying to? Well, in a similar way, sin separates us from God. We prefer darkness instead of light. This is the reality. This is the darkness when God is left out of the picture. Like a haze, we turn to Assyria instead of to the Lord. We place our hope and our trust in the experts, the professionals, the technology. Things are dark. You see it in the news. You experience it in your day-to-day lives. And hardly anyone talks about the true solution to the darkness of this world, the true answer to the troubles and concerns, the pain and the suffering. No one ever talks about the light of Christ. We continually think that we can figure it out on our own, switch things up with government, a new ceasefire or peace treaties talks, or more funding for this or for that, and we forget that we aren't God, and so instead of turning to God and turning to the light, we end up stumbling around in the darkness. And this is why we need the light of God so desperately. When you look at John 1, Christ is described as the true light that gives light to every man coming into the world. And what's the response that he gets? He came to that which was his own, and his own did not receive him. The response isn't good. John describes how darkness represents evil, which seeks to overcome and conquer the light. Verse 5, light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. And when John is saying the darkness has not understood it, he's describing the darkness has not overcome it. More like a battle between light and darkness. Darkness does not eclipse the light or snuff the light out or conquer it. Boys and girls, at nighttime when it's dark in your bedroom and you flip on the light, the darkness goes away if the lights are on and they're working. The darkness doesn't ever beat the light. Oh, I turned on the light and that time the darkness won and it's still dark. And that's the image that John is using to describe Christ as the light shining into the darkness. When John talks about darkness, he's not talking about people, but rather he's talking about the environment that people find themselves in. The darkness is not only the absence of the light, but also the presence of evil. They loved darkness more than light, John 3:19 tells us. Those who follow Jesus do not walk in darkness. They are to walk while they have the light, lest the darkness overcome them. There you have that same verb being used. And so when Isaiah is talking about the darkness and the people who walk in the darkness, those who dwell in the land of deep darkness, verse 2. Walking in the valley of the shadow of death or the valley of deep darkness. Here Isaiah is using the same phrases that are used in Psalm 23. When we think of the phrase the shadow of death or the valley of the shadow of death or the valley of deep darkness, Psalm 23 uses that as an image of something very foreboding. Very dangerous. The valley of the shadow of death can be translated as the valley of deep darkness. A place of uncertainty. Life-threatening situations. Death itself. And here the situation that Isaiah is describing is of people who are stumbling around in that. Walking in the darkness. And we're left with this picture, the presence of evil, which is the result of sin, walking in darkness. In what ways do we experience this today? The presence of evil, the result of sin in our own lives. How are we today walking in darkness or stumbling in the dark? There are moments in our own lives when this darkness can feel overwhelming. The discouragements, the disappointments we are living through and don't seem to have a way out. And it's the effects of sin in general on the one hand. Sin in general, sickness, disease as the result of sin, death and pain and sorrow. Why did the doctor say that I have cancer? Dealing with the pain and the misery and the darkness of sin in general, but also sin in particular. The effects of my choices that I've made, and now I'm living with those consequences of those bad decisions. Choosing my way, which is ultimately disobeying God's way. Some of us struggle with the darkness of depression and the clouds of our own emotions overwhelm us. And the situation that God's people find themselves in is this bleak situation. The nation, God's people, as they know it, is about to be snuffed out by the Assyrians and hauled away into exile. And as we heard, King Ahaz turned to the enemy instead of to God, plunging the nation into the helplessness, distress of darkness. Yet shining into this situation, there is that glimmer of hope. There is the light of Christ. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. Christ is the light shining in the darkness. And that's the comfort we have here in Isaiah. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. The hope that we have when things aren't right, when the suffering is overwhelming, when the struggle never seems to end, is the light that has dawned. And that is Jesus Christ. The people who have walked in darkness, secondly, have seen a great light. That's our second point this morning. Last night was the longest night of the year. It was the winter solstice last night. And it's said that ancient Norsemen of Northern Europe used to celebrate the winter solstice by lighting huge bonfires. During the darkness of winter, the longest and the darkest night, they would light huge bonfires and tell stories and drink ale. They called it the Yule, which is where the Yule log comes from. They lit the fires to conquer the darkness, to banish evil spirits and bring luck for the coming year. This is all before Christianity came to Europe. But what we see is even then, people's natural response to darkness was a desire and a striving for light. Make it light. Build a big bonfire. Light a Yule log. Darkness is bad and evil. Light is good. Well, the hope that we have through the darkness and the distress of our own lives here and now is the light of Christ. The promise of the light is so sure that Isaiah puts it in the past tense. He says, they have seen a great light, and this is still 600 years in the future. To us, a child has been born. To us, a son is given. It's a birth announcement. It's a boy. And this is 600 years before the fact. So sure is this promise of the Lord. So sure is this hope of deliverance, salvation, light shining into the darkness that Isaiah speaks of as if it's already happened. He's been born. The light is shining. As if those walking in darkness have already seen a great light. Verse 1, there will be no more gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, it's only when we have that hope in what God is doing and accomplishing. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. Who is this son? Who is the light that we're talking about? And we know the simple answer to that question is that this is Jesus. Jesus is the light. Jesus is the Son who is given, the child who is born. Light is the response to the darkness of sin. We are talking about Jesus Christ when we talk about the light in reference. He's the light of the world. He's life, light, glory, salvation. The glory of the Lord is the salvation of mankind. This glory, when you talk about God's glory, His radiance, His light, it describes God's glory is described in terms of light, brilliance, shining, radiance. This glory is Christ, the light, shining, illuminating, saving from the darkness. And as we think about what Christ is coming and to accomplish as this child who has been born, the names drive home what He's coming to accomplish here. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This is what He's accomplishing. This is the result of Him coming. The increase of His government and peace, no end, establishing the throne of David, justice, righteousness from this time on and forever. And how is this accomplished? How does this come to be? The end of verse 7. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. What is zeal? Zeal is passion. Zeal is God's strong desire and His deep devotion for His people. If you remember a few Sundays ago, we looked at 2 Kings 19 verse 31 when God destroyed the Assyrian army. The Assyrian army was advancing like the cedars of Lebanon, like this huge forest. And God completely wiped them out. God destroyed the Assyrian army, and it was because of His zeal. 2 Kings 19 verse 31 says, "The zeal of the Lord will do this. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city or shoot an arrow there or come before it with a shield or cast up a siege mount against it. By the way he came, by the same way he shall return. And he shall not come into this city, declares the Lord. For I will defend this city and save it for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David." And that night the angel of the Lord went out and struck down 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. The zeal of the Lord, His strong desire, His deep devotion for His people, for you, which He has shown to you in sending the light of the world, which we are called to know and to believe. Christ is the answer to the darkness of this world. So how does God bring light into the darkness? How does God bring true peace into our troubled and discouraged and depressed hearts? Here we have the people who are in exile. They've been pulled from their homeland. They've been, a foreign country has come in and wiped them out, hauled them away. It's a bad situation. And they're not the victims here of outside circumstances. It's the consequences of their decisions, their disobedience, their sin, their rebellion, rejecting God, and yet God here holds out this glimmer, this promise of peace, the Son who's given, the peace that will be accomplished between God and His people through this child, His one and only Son. What does your relationship with God look like right now? As we think about what this means for us practically and personally, are you at peace with God? Or does this relationship feel strained? Do you feel far from God? And if you do, He hasn't gone anywhere. Have you turned away from God? Have you sinned against God, which leads to that feeling of distance? which means choosing to do what you want and also choosing not to do what God wants. And the result is this feeling that Isaiah has been describing, this walking in darkness, this stumbling around. But here is the light that shines into that darkness. God's love for you, His relationship with you, Him saving you, isn't based on you. He loves you with a perfect love because of Christ. The relationship of peace has been restored because of this child who has been born, this son who has been given. This prophecy 600 years before Christ's birth, Isaiah stating it in the past tense. And now that Christ has come, we see how His light, He as the light, has shined into the darkness. And these names drive home that wonderful point. Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful Advisor, Mighty God, in a powerful and a completely able sort of way. Everlasting Father, here you have a reference to the relationship that's been restored. The peace between us who were enemies and with God is now, we are now at peace with God. We who were enemies with God are now part of the family because of Christ. Forever, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, the Prince of that Shalom, that peace that is being talked about here in Isaiah. The result of His rule and governing is peace and justice and righteousness forever, which is the result of God's work in His people enjoying that peace and justice and righteousness through the Prince of Peace. Our sins are forgiven. Our relationship with God is restored. Peace is fully realized. And how is this accomplished? The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. The promise to receive and to believe this morning is that it's the zeal of the Lord who accomplishes all of this, removing the enemy, keeping His promise. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Since the beginning of chapter 7, the prophet Isaiah has been making these amazing disclosures in the name of the Lord, which now come to an ultimate climax, and we are left wondering, well, how can this be? How can all of these wonderful truths be true? How can this be accomplished in the darkness that we're wandering in? How do I know for sure that these wonderful prophecies and promises are true? How can I know for sure that I am at peace with God because of Christ? And Isaiah anticipates those questions. Both the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, and the blessing of His people are a guarantee. Because of the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Not a feeling that you have. Not a supernatural experience you go through, but the zeal of the Lord. And in light of this salvation accomplished and applied because of God's zeal, how do we respond? In a very real way, Christ is the light shining into the darkness. We've seen that. And in a very real way, He also is the light we proclaim, the light we shine as we share the gospel. Jesus Christ is the light we proclaim, we testify, we share. He's the light of the world shining through us who have been illuminated, so to speak, by Him. Jesus is the light we shine. We shine Christ, the light of the world, when we tell others about Him, the light. Ephesians 4, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. It's not that you will be light, it's that already now in Christ you are light. It's not saying you're gonna be, or that you're reflecting the light, but that you are. Let your light shine. Be who you are in Christ. Matthew 5, verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. In this world, we face the darkness of sin and the pain of loneliness, the suffering of a broken world. We face death, the death of those we love and our own. But the hope that we have is in Jesus Christ, the light of the world. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. And this light is Jesus Christ. And in him, as God's children, there is no evil or darkness at all. And that's the light that we share, that we shine in a dark world. Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we come before you praising and thanking you that you have shone your light into the darkness of this world in our own hearts, that the light of Christ has shone. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. Lord, we thank you for the light, the brilliance, the illuminating, the salvation that we have because of your passion, because of your zeal for us, your people, your children. And it's our prayer, Lord, that in light of this light that has shone unto us, we will share this light with those around us, being that light of the world, shining before men that they may see you, the light that has come. Lord, hear our prayer, because we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.